Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text for this morning are from the words of the gospel reading, where Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." He said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Simon the Pharisee was stunned. His evening did not work out as he had planned. Jesus entered into his house for the evening meal, the same Jesus who was stirring up the crowds in the entire region of Galilee. His teaching on the Old Testament prophets in his hometown of Nazareth forced his own people to shun him. But that had not stopped him from traveling the Galilean seashore, loosening the grip of illnesses, and revealing the truth of God's word in his speaking. Simon the Pharisee had to see for himself, in his own home, if this Jesus was the real deal. He had his doubts that Jesus was anything more than a great prophet. As Jesus entered the Pharisee's home, the usual accommodations for respected guests were not made. No water was given to cleanse Jesus' feet. No greeting of a kiss was extended to him. His head was not touched with oil for refreshing. Whether this oversight by Simon was intentional or accidental, we do not know. Whether Simon knew the true identity of Jesus before him or not should not matter. Jesus was a rabbi with his own disciples following him. He was proclaiming the word of God. The simplest respect due to him was not given. St. Luke, in his gospel writing, has portrayed the Pharisees in a light that many of his intended audience would already understand. That these men, the Pharisees, are a special group of Jews who hold strictly to the law of Moses from the Old Testament, and who have established additional laws to help them keep that special law of Moses. Their adherence to these laws faithfully created for them a very pious and upright appearance before all the people. Their solid behavior and their loyal citizenship earned them favor and respect with their fellow Jews. Such a Pharisee, such a man who welcomed Jesus to his home. But then Luke contrasts the Pharisee Simon with a woman who is a known sinner. Both these facts, that the person is a woman and is a known sinner, are striking to Luke's audience. For Jewish women in those days were aware of their place in society, and they did not view it appropriate to associate with men in public uninvited. And those women who were known to be sinners were even more so to be confined to the outskirts and the shadows. What the woman's sin was, we can only speculate. And regardless of its identity, the woman was held negatively for it. And rare would be the occasion when an upright Pharisee would be in mixed company with a known sinful woman. This woman, whose name was not known, began to do for Jesus what should have been done by Simon's own household attendants. Standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair, kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Simon's reaction was not one of wonderment at this show of affection. Rather, he concludes in the safety, the recesses of his own mind, that if this Jesus were a great prophet, no doubt like Elijah or Isaiah or Moses before, he would have known what kind of woman it was who was touching him. And so, as a great prophet, with that knowledge, Jesus should have forbade it. He should have sent her away. Both Simon and the woman were in the presence of the forgiver of sins. Simon had heard the reports about Jesus. In his sin, and empowered by his own sinful pride, he would not believe that Jesus could be the one to forgive sin. For that act of grace could only be done by God. The sinful woman, in contrast, beaten down by the guilt of her sin and humbled in her poverty of spirit, clung to Jesus, who had spoken words that she had so desperately longed to hear. When faced with Jesus and with his word, what is the proper response? Do you stand firm in your sin, whatever it may be, and continue to think that it's not that bad? Or do you deny yourself and your pride, let the law hit you with its full force, and cling to the only forgiver of sin? Today's Old Testament reading gave us King David, who can be seen as a combination of the Pharisee and the woman. Doing what he wanted to do, David sinned with Bathsheba and had her husband murdered to cover it up. Except that God still knew what David had done. And God sent his prophet Nathan to David to bring him to repentance for his sin. And in true, clever fashion, Nathan retold David's sin in a way that played on David's sense of justice. And infuriated over such treatment of the helpless, David justly declares the punishment he truly deserved. The man who has done this deserves to die. David, you are the man. And when confronted with his sin, out in the open now, David hid no longer. He confessed, "I have sinned against the Lord." No excuses given, no reasons to explain. Did not refuse his Lord. He embraced him and submitted himself to the forgiver of his sin. Such is the amazing reality of Jesus. He is the forgiver of sins, the one you call Lord, Savior, God, is the one who forgives you all your sins. He has paid for them with his own blood. And God has declared you, sinner that you are, righteous and holy as you hold on to Christ as your Savior. With St. Paul then, you say, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, who loved me and gave himself for me." And it is true. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Redeemed, bought back, purchased and won from all sin, from death, from the power of the devil with his holy, precious blood. All of that Christ has done for you. When faced with your sin, the natural temptation is to defend your action and to excuse away your error. There are some sins that are easy to confess. I do not speak of these. They are those that we do not let go of so easily, of which I speak. Battered by the word of the law, desperate that there is no way out of your sin, you follow suit with the sinful woman and with David, and you cling to Jesus. For he who has forgiven all your sin speaks those precious words to you. Your sins are forgiven. They are truly, really, even now. If ever you doubt it, behold the cross and the empty tomb as proof. Your sins are forgiven, says the forgiver of sins, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now the peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ.